Every Thursday night, swing dance enthusiasts flock to a brick building on St. Paul's west side. The building looks like it's being swallowed up by the landscape, which is in fact true, since the majority of the 80-year-old building is actually inside the Wabasha Street caves. Lessons start off the evening for the uninitiated, mostly college and high school-aged kids. Tour guide Cynthia Schreiner-Smith met me at the Wabasha Street Caves just as the swing dancing lessons were kicking off. Though it now looks almost exactly like it did in the 1930s, with a wood dance floor and big round tables, it has gone through several transformations.
I was here back in the 70s when it was a disco, and it's kind of fun because back then when it was the Castle Royale, I used to actually pay their outrageous cover charge just to bring people in here and show them the bullet holes in the fireplace. And here I am 30 years later, and now I'm getting paid to do it, so it's awesome.
As a disco, brown smoky mirrors covered the walls, the ceiling was painted black, and there was a raised plexiglass dance floor underfoot. Now, as in 1933, brick half walls give way to a curved white stucco ceiling.
This ceiling that you see is suspended below the real cave ceiling anywhere between 5 inches and 7 feet, and it doesn't touch the real cave anywhere. So you're kind of like standing in a tunnel built within a tunnel. It's really fun. And the section where we're standing right now, here by the fireplace, you are about 70 feet underneath somebody's basement. The Wabasha Street Caves were actually dug out of the cliffs back around 1849. They are mines. They were dug out for silica sand, which is used to make glass. We have 7 of those mines, and they've been used for many things over the years. The city used them to store produce. Then in the late 1800s, 3 Frenchmen moved in and turned them into the very first mushroom farm in the United States. When Prohibition came along, in addition to the mushroom farm, they had a little speakeasy going on in the back. And then when Prohibition went away, the owners of the mushroom farm thought, well, why not? Let's have a nice legal place for people to drink. So they took the first 3 caves and put in this beautiful building that you see today.
The 1930s nightclub was called Cafe Royal. Big band leaders Tommy Dorsey, Cab Calloway, Harry James, and Benny Goodman all played at Cafe Royal.
Now, in addition to these famous band leaders back then, we also had a few unsavory people that loved to frequent the Castle Royal nightclub, and that would be the gangsters of the era that were all in town because, the St. Paul police kind of made them welcome. So we know that the Barker Gang was here, Doc and Freddie, and Babyface Nelson, and Pretty Boy Floyd, and we actually had a woman who took one of our tours a few years ago who told us about the time in 1934 that she was here dancing with John Dillinger. Public enemy number one. And that, of course, led to a few problems because gangsters have bad tempers. They have Tommy guns. So in 1934, we had a little bit of a gangster incident.
Cynthia points to the bullet holes marring the sandstone fireplace.
Here's one right there.
That's large.
It was a Thompson submachine gun. It's a 45 caliber bullet, and there's a lot of them one after the other. And here's another one right here. And the Thompson is a heavy gun, so we guess at this point it pointed down and he started shooting as he brought it up at an angle. And you can see that with a trail of chips here, a long scratch where one of the bullets ricocheted, and right there is where he found his third man. We know from a witness that was here that the bodies most likely never left the caves. They were probably dragged back to the unfinished mushroom farm and are probably still back there somewhere. So I do like to say when I'm doing my tours, hey, we've got bodies. Want to go back and look? This would be great.
So. Does anybody ever take you up on that?
Oh yeah, we take them back to the unfinished caves. Would you like to see them?
I'd love to.
I have a key. Let's go.
These caves are raw sandstone with a cement floor and little else. Hash marks from miners cover the roof and the walls. A few animals carved on the walls and a full-size basketball hoop are left over from movies and a commercial filmed in the caves.
So those are some mushroom tables over there left behind by the original mushroom farm. The farm was in here till the 60s. They closed the Castle Royal restaurant in 1940, and then when they did, this cave was paved. And so if our gangsters were buried back here in the 30s, we'll never know because they were paved over in the 1940s, and we're just not going to go around and try and dig them up. But we are one of only 3 sites in St. Paul considered haunted enough that we qualify for the National Register of Haunted Places.
What kind of ghosts haunt the Wabasha Street caves?
What we have mostly here are a lot of people who are either afraid to move on because they were naughty, or they're just too stupid to know they're dead. And they still think it's 1933, and they're partying to the music. So we do get a lot of party sounds. They're very happy ghosts, our ghosts.
They even have photos.
Mostly it's orbs, and people have seen that. It looks like a drip on the negative, you know, and that's what people used to think it was. But now, of course, it's showing up on digital film, too. And as cameras get more sensitive, pictures of ghosts get a little more interesting. So we have some, in the last few years, we've been finding some that look like comets or shooting stars. And then we actually have a few pictures of ghosts that where you can it looks like a person.
The Wabasha Street caves are often rented for wedding receptions, but
we kind of warn the wedding photographers, take lots of extra pictures because some of them might be ruined by orbs, you know, ghosts floating around.
We're back in the Cafe Royal portion of the Wabasha Street caves, and the band is almost ready to play. I asked Dawn Glazer, singer for the Swing Beat Big Band, what she likes about performing here.
Great acoustics. It's very loud. Everybody dances. It's really fun.
A group of about a dozen regulars have staked out their usual table. Sue Wilson explains how she and her husband Mark became regulars.
He gave me dance lessons for Christmas one year, 3 years ago. And he thought that was it, but no, you can't put Pandora back in the box once you let the girl dance. Turns out he liked to dance too. So we wasted 32 years of not dancing.
When I asked the table of regulars about ghosts, Anita Gibson admits to having felt something strange in the caves.
I don't know if there were ghosts, but whenever I come in here, there's just a sense that I get, that I don't get anywhere else.
Our tour guide, Cynthia Schreiner-Smith, has heard plenty of ghost stories.
You hear the music right now that's going on, and sometimes that's what you hear when no band is here. You'll hear the music, but it'll be a lot fainter. Music of maybe the original 1930s, and we have a bus boy who comes out and tries to take tables, and there's been reports of a man and a woman dancing on the dance floor to this music, and a gangster or two have been spotted in the men's room. That's fun. And all these people, you see them out of your corner of your eye, and when you try to look at them directly, they fade away. Just still people partying like it's 1934.
This is Maria Omley for KFAI.
Ten 1,000 fresh voices on KFAI is made possible by listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.